Hello, everyone. We're having a few technical difficulties, but we have a wonderful guest tonight. I want to thank you for listening and joining us tonight on air. I'm Jennifer Hellman, and tonight I am thrilled. We're going to be taking a little bit of a difference, and I'm going in the direction of abstract illusion is all about creative expression and supporting that avenue for everyone. And tonight's guest is Leah Johnson. She is in transit, and we're waiting for her to connect with us again. Leah is a producer and the lead in a new film called I'm Through with White Women. It is a quirky romantic comedy addressing race, class, and the cultural identity of America. I recently saw the film, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful blend of things that I see every day, which is, and I don't mean to be generalizing things, but people who have commitment issues, and they're afraid to really stick to what they wanted, yet when they get it, they have trouble having it. And this is a wonderful film about somebody who found his very special someone, and it comes to the point where it's like you gotta grab hold of it or walk away, and he decides to walk away and then just hits himself in the head and says, what did I just do? It is a wonderful film. Creative expression in film is going in all different directions these days. It's the same with music and the influence it has on society and how art also is reflected in the arts. So it's a great way to understand where society is these days, but it's also a great way to get your message across on how you're feeling society is. Now, if you have questions on or have any comments on creative expression and different ways that you like to express yourself, please feel free to give me a call while we're getting the technical difficulties ironed out. The number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227, or if you're in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. Excuse me, that's 56. Or there's a direct line, which is 530-876-3222. Now, in the first show I had, I mentioned what Abstract Illusion is about. It is a creative expression support network. And I really feel that everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to be acknowledged. And a lot of the artists today are really standing up and telling their messages through their words, their music, through their actions even. There is a lot of artists now that are taking a political stand in many ways. I mean, the recent concerts that are here to let us recognize and understand the environmental issues that are at hand right now. And with the green movement upon and in the passage feeding Africa and dealing with the AIDS situation. I recently was in L.A., and they are having a huge walk for AIDS, and many of the artists I know are going out for that. So, I'm asking you a question then. How do you express yourself in some art form? Do you do it through painting, through writing, through poetry? Do you dance and move? Do you speak your truth, or do you hold yourself in and wondering, you know, why aren't they listening to me? If you have any comments, please give me a call. And there is many ways. I myself express myself in different ways. I am a poet, and I am writing some books. I also have a degree in graphic design, so I do the arts. I do photography. I feel that expressing yourself is something that I try and teach my clients as an intuitive life coach, not to be afraid, to let people know how you truly feel. As human beings, that's why we're here. We're here to express our emotions. Now, sometimes there's been some that have done it in very violent ways, and I'm not suggesting that it's the right way of doing things. There's many ways that are very peaceful, quiet, yet get the message across. And a lot of the music artists right now, I was having a discussion actually with Leah about film and music and how it's really changing with society and the times and the different ways that events that are happening outside are now being reflected in music, and yet they're saying because of the events, music influenced society and what is going on. The thing that comes to mind is many of the shootings in schools, and they're blaming music and video games for such things. Well, everybody has different ways of expressing themselves. Those unfortunate, tragic events unfortunately happened, and hopefully they won't happen again. Even the most recent one in Virginia Tech was tragic. And it just tells you, again, people want to be heard. And they're just not being heard in peaceful ways. So unfortunately, they're taking violent ways of doing it. So there's many ways that creative expression can help you release all the anger and confusion and frustration that you can feel inside. Myself, for clients, I often, and even for myself, I always say journaling. Just writing in a book and putting your feelings out on paper. It's a wonderful, great way of trying to get those feelings out so it doesn't manifest, number one, in a physical ailment within you, which often happens. A lot of times that's why people have cancer, is because they're holding in some kind of emotion that just isn't being released properly. So the toxins build up, and i.e. you get cancer and many other disease, because you really are not at ease within your own body. So that's a really good way, is journaling. Also singing or dancing. It moves the body. It gets something out that needs to be expressed. Now, creative expression has been around since the beginning of man. I mean, music, just beating a drum against a rock or against the ground, really even started having many different ways of helping to release some of the tension and getting people to move. So throughout history, man has wanted to express themselves, even with the cavemen using paints against the wall. Now these days, there's so many different ways and so many avenues. Blogging is out there now on the internet, which is amazing to read some of the comments and views that are being expressed out there. I think it's absolutely wonderful. Yes.
Yeah, let me just repeat the question to make sure that I understand.
I didn't hear the question. I didn't know you were there. I apologize.
Oh, sorry. No, I was listening. I was quiet.
Okay. Is this Leah?
Yeah, this is Leah.
Oh, hello, Leah. So I was just talking about creative expression.
Right.
And this film is wonderful. And I was just wondering to you, what kind of message is this film trying to get out? And again, the name of the film is I'm Through with White Women. So what is the message of this film?
Well, interestingly enough, the title is provocative, and we actually did that on purpose. We really feel like the sort of deeper meaning, certainly I feel like the deeper meaning of the film is that I personally am through with the idea of what is white and what is black. Those sort of ideas of what those two things are and the stereotypes that go with them in America today. I do think that people, sort of the next step for all of us is sort of moving into the space where I think many people are moving organically already, where we sort of see each other just as people and less, our cultures defined by what we look like on the outside. And I feel like one of the ways that creative expression, one of the uses of it is as a tool to further, like you were talking about, the things, the needs, the things that we need to say, the things that we need to feel heard on. Creative expression, I think, is a wonderful way not only to let people know what we think as artists, but also, and individuals, but also to draw others that think similarly to us and those who think differently to us for the purpose of debate and discussion and greater learning on all of our parts.
And also, wouldn't you say, like, the acceptance of each other as who and what we are?
Yes. Yeah, and I think that our art helps us to explore ourselves, because we don't even know. that's part of the fun is finding out.
Yes. Now this film, what drew you to this project specifically to become not just the lead actress, but also the producer?
Wait, you broke up just a little bit. Will you repeat that?
Certainly. I'm wondering why you chose this project to become lead actress, but also take on the additional duties of producer.
Well, let's see. My sister and I, Phyllis, who I'm hoping will join us via phone, we're both actresses, and we've always, very stimulated. Those are the kinds of films and project plays, things like that, that we want to be a part of. And so I had been, both of us had been involved in filmmaking for some time, and I had made a couple of short films and really felt ready for a feature. And so when we were looking around for the film, that we thought that we could do as first-time feature filmmakers, that was, when we read Untrue with White Girls, it was sort of the perfect match for, I was the one who sort of started this particular project, but we have other ones as well where, for me, it was a perfect match between myself as an actor wanting to do a character that I was completely in love with. I just fell in love with the role of Catherine in the film. And then as a producer wanting to bring that to light. And the power that someone who produces their own artwork has is that they can make what it is that they're excited about.
Do you think that a coming trend in the film industry is more independent, almost personalized films?
I really think so. I think more and more that's the way a lot of actors are going, actors and writers. Anyone who feels passionately about their own work, they can make it. And I think that especially the way that the industry trends are going with sort of more studio films being larger and larger, tentpole films where it's really hundreds of millions of dollars to make one, and then also the rise of the independent film scene, I think that more and more there's been a proliferation of artists wanting to do work that's on a smaller scale and sometimes deeper meaning. And with a room for independence, they can do that. I think people want to see those personal stories, too.
I tend to agree. And I think more, at least in Tucson where I live, more and more of the major theater chains are actually showing more of the independents, the smaller
yes.
films, which I'm just thrilled that they're doing that. So with this film, it really is a wonderful film. I really did enjoy it. And I'm looking at the sheet about the film, and you won Best Actress. Congratulations. Well earned. You were wonderful in the film.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
I'm so glad that you love it.
It has done very well at many of the film festivals, and I know it's just going to get even more. So with winning, does it make it harder for your next project?
Did you ask if it makes it... What about my next project?
I mean, is it going to make it tougher to find that next role and succeed all the success that this one is, or are you just looking at it as a challenge and knowing it's just one step towards something bigger?
Let's see. Is the question, does it make me ready for something bigger for my next project?
Yes. I mean, are you looking for something more challenging, or what area are you looking to go for?
I think in terms of the next project, and actually I should probably, I'm seeing that Phyllis is actually texting me on my phone that I guess the numbers that we have are a little bit busy. Is there, do you guys have her number to call her?
Actually, I don't believe you gave that to me.
Maybe can I text it to your cell number?
Yes, you can, and I will get that to them.
Okay, great. So, yeah, I think definitely the next project that we would like to do is one that, I mean, the size is less important and more just the interesting part of it is for us is the actual story and if it shares something along the lines, you know, of sort of what we're interested in doing, which is really just good stories about, you know, real people. Like those sort of, when I say real people, I mean like characters that are three-dimensional and that have depth to them. Those are the kinds of films that we're most excited about.
Yes. So Kevin is very 3D. Was it really easy to try and get her within you and to try and get things going to really develop this character, or was it really kind of easy? She was like a glove for you.
You know, you're asking if it was really easy or difficult to make the project?
For you to get into the character of Catherine.
Wait, one more time?
Was it easy to get into the character of Catherine for this project? Leah, again, just so you understand, she's in transit, so there is a little bit of a technical difficulties with today's show. Basically, we are talking with Leah Johnson about a new film that is out that's winning many film festival awards, including Best Narrative and Best Actress. The name of the film is I'm Through with White Women. It is about a gentleman who finds the perfect mate and is afraid to grab hold of her, and definitely is worth trying to find and check out. And it is a film that really is, like many films today, it's really basically trying to get a message out through a small, simple film to try and get the message out that we all have our own way of seeing things, and there's common things that many people feel is just kind of unique, but it's really everybody is one.
We're back.
You're back.
I didn't
Hi.
Know. Oh,
Hi.
Phyllis with me.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Is this Jen?
Yes, it is.
Hi. How are you?
Just fine. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, Leah, what is your sister's name? I don't even think you mentioned her name to me.
I'm Phyllis.
Phyllis. Hello, Phyllis.
Now, Hi.
Are you just the producer, or are you also in the film?
I'm the executive producer, and I helped Leah produce it. And if you look really close, there's a couple of background players that I played.
Excellent. So you are one of the wonderful extras in the film.
Couldn't do it without the extras.
No, they really add the tapestry of in the background. So was it easy to choose this project to be the executive producer on?
I'm sorry, say it one more time. Was it what?
Was it easy to choose this character to be part of this project as a producer?
Oh yeah, this project was really easy. It chose me in many ways.
Does it bring up memories of a relationship that you are in, or people that you've known that have been like Jay Brooks?
Definitely, people that I've known that have been like Jay Brooks, and certainly it was the first project I'd ever seen that wanted to present them in, you know, sort of a commercial light. And tell a story about them from their point of view. So it was very easy to choose it.
So did you feel comfortable being the producer? As you are an actor, like your sister as well, did you feel comfortable doing the producing more?
I am an actress, and it was a little bit like, you know, the Roadrunner. You start running, and you don't realize that there's gravity, so you don't feel gravity. And I've produced with Leah before, and we always have such a good time doing it that, you know, we don't realize that we've sort of accomplished, you know, a lot more than we expected to, you know, until it's done. So So it was very easy stepping into the role, and it was also great because I got to, I felt that my sister and I worked very well together artistically and from the production side.
That's wonderful. You guys got the rhythm and you just went with it.
Yeah, and we had a great script to support us and
yeah.
great crew and technical advisors that really helped us every step of the way.
It was awesome because it was seemed like it was one of these things where, and I really tell as many artists that I come across as well that when they ask me, oh, you know, how did you do that or how can I do something like that? And I just say that, you know, when you do commit to it wholeheartedly and it's just you feel in your heart that it's the right thing to do, it's amazing how you feel as though almost everything around you is coming on board to help you. And even the difficult things, like in the moment, they feel very difficult, but you still know that you're on the right path. And you find all the people that you need to help you make what it is you're trying to do. It's really a beautiful thing.
It's almost serendipitous, I think.
So,
almost like, you know, when you have this sort of goal or path and the right people come, that you encounter each other, you know?
So you found it not very difficult to find the cast and the crew. It just, everything flowed pretty easily in that. I mean, I recognize many people in this film.
Yeah.
So you've got some veterans.
I was going to say we were really lucky because we had a lot of folks that between us we'd worked with just over the years as actors, like in television shows or plays that we had done or other films that we had done. And between the two of us, it was really interesting to see how many folks got behind the project and were willing to come on board and for very, very low pay and, you know, put their weight into making something really a lot larger than just us as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was Anthony Montgomery easy to work with? I mean, he's an awesome actor. I've seen him in many things. He's very talented, very funny. Was he fun to work with?
Yeah, it was really fun to work with. Actually, everybody on set was a joy. I think everyone who joined the production in any sort of capacity, not a single person left, and in fact, by the end of it, we had most of the people on the crew had read the script, which is pretty unheard of for film sets. Usually people just show up and do whatever they're told, and it's a very sort of cut-and-dry thing, but people were so personally invested in making this, so it made it really exciting every day. People showed up all excited to work and to make something we all thought were really proud of.
And what was really interesting also was Anthony's performance was so wonderful and consistent, not only artistically in front of the camera, but just setting a tone on set. He was really committed and excited about the project, and I think that's what inspired other people to sort of take a closer look at the core crew and get closer, get more involved in the project from a personal standpoint, which I think is why we had so many people asking to read the script.
Now,
everybody brought their passion to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, now how did you get a director? Now, was the director the one that came to you, or did you go to Jennifer Sharp, who is the director?
We know Jennifer because I, Phyllis, was in one of her first projects. I was in just a very small role, I think it was one line, but she worked with my roommate, this is years ago, and then fast forward, we'd already begun pre-production on the film and fundraising, and you can take it from there because that's when the thread of the story picks up.
Excellent. And
when she sort of came on, I guess she had done a short film that was on in film festivals that I really liked and thought it would be, you know, a great, I thought that our feature would be a great first feature for Jen to come on board with, and so that's pretty much what happened. Every single stage that the script went through, it got better from script to when we, you know, added the actors. So when we, you know, Jennifer, you know, pretty much guided the entire process through to the polished finish.
It's I'm just looking over the list, and it's just, I'm getting so impressed over and over again. I mean, even the script is written by Courtney Lilly, who has written some pretty big, well-known things. I mean, Arrested Development and Everybody Hates Chris and My Boys. I mean, she has a lot of experience behind this, and it's just, it's very impressive the way everything is just, I mean, you guys did an awesome job. Now, how difficult was it to get, you know, I mean, what was the decision to use the 16 millimeter as the size for the film?
I think we, you know, for us, the biggest decision, because initially, you know, we were thinking about our budget, and it's definitely often cost effective as when it comes to shooting, to shoot digitally. But I think that we knew we didn't have a big budget, and we knew that the actors were going to be talking a lot, sitting and talking, and we wanted them to look beautiful and really well lit. And I think part of what you know can make digital not so good is if it's not well lit, you can get into trouble. So we definitely wanted to have a beautiful image. I think that film just lent itself really most effectively to the look of the film. And additionally, they just have, if you have a small project and you want to shoot on film, Kodak is very encouraging to young filmmakers to continue to explore that medium, because it is becoming more and more unusual that small projects will shoot on it because it's so expensive.
Right. Now you're
also, so we decided to go on that because we needed it to be a beautiful image.
Yes, and it is really beautiful. It is a beautiful film. Now, you also got a grant from Panavision. Was that difficult to get?
Leah, do you want to talk about that?
You know, actually, can you repeat the question? I didn't quite hear it.
Oh. You wanted to know if it was difficult to get the Panavision grant.
You know, I thought it would be, because it's a very competitive program. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that was great is there's a man there, Rick Halpern, who each of the projects that go through that come across his desk, and he totally looked at our script and read it, and based upon the strength of the script and, you know, my begging, he very quickly came on board, and that was really what we needed when we were sort of first starting out, to have some sort of known name and, you know, a known name endorsement. And so he totally did that, and that made a lot of things very easy for us once we had Panavision on board with the film camera.
It really, the quality is the film is just really, it doesn't seem like a small budget film at all.
Thanks a lot.
I was really quite impressed by it, and the actors and everything. Now, can you give me a synopsis, one of you or both of you, about the film so people know a little bit more about what I'm Through with White Women is about? I mean, white girls, excuse me.
Go ahead, Leah.
Yeah, probably the short version, and people can go on the website, www.turnsoul.com, to watch a trailer, and I'll check out a full synopsis. But the short version is, it's pretty much just about this guy named Jay Brooks, who has a habit of leaving the women he dates whenever things get kind of close, commitment-wise. And so when a friend of his is getting married and Jay is the best man, he's wondering why he has never found the perfect woman. And he thinks that it's because, as he's reviewing all the women he's dated, he thinks it's because they've all been white, and he thinks that's the problem. And Jay is, like, the only black guy in his indie rock circle, and he thinks that if he finds the perfect black woman, somehow he'll find the perfect woman. So he goes on this search that all of his friends term Operation Brown Sugar to discover the perfect black woman. And because Jay does not fit the social stereotypes of today, he doesn't listen to hip-hop, he doesn't have a car in Los Angeles, he loves sci-fi and indie rock music. He totally strikes out with the sisters. And so just as things are getting really, really difficult for him, he finally finds a woman, Catherine, who's the woman that I play, that is sort of offbeat and quirky like him. And she's interracial. She's mixed with black and white, and fully recognizes both of her heritages. and she and Jay really fall for each other, but then Jay essentially has to deal with his commitment issues, which are really the root of his problem, to win her. So it's a fairly classic story, but with a little twist. A little social commentary in there.
Yes. Yes. So, with this story, what are you hoping to achieve?
Well, we're hoping to get the story out to as many people as possible. One of the goals of Turn Soul Films is to create projects that are both provocative and have a multicultural message and are entertaining as well. And so we just want as many people to see it as possible. You know, we are talking with distributors now, and hopefully we'll be able to have it go straight to DVD, or else even, or dreaming even of a theatrical release. And the strength of that is really people's interest in it, going to the website, getting involved in, you know, clicking onto the mailing list.
Yeah.
You can Google I'm Through with White Girls and find our website. If, you know, if you can't find it, it's www.turnsoul.com. And the more interest we have in the film, the more possibility we have to bring it to people's areas, film festivals, educational screenings, know, and doing our own small independent distribution if possible. And, if you know, if, that is if we don't get distribution ourselves from a studio. So that's really our goal, is to get it out there and make the next one.
Well, just so you know and the audience knows, there is also a link on the page for Abstract Illusion Radio to click on and get to the trailers on the BBS radio spot, but also on abstractillusion.net. There is a link to their website so you can see the trailer.
Cool. Oh, that's fantastic.
So I want to help you get the word out because I think it has a good message and it's very timely. As somebody who works as a psychic, I get these questions all the time about men just like Jay. So it's very interesting that, I mean, I saw this film and going, yes, I know this character quite well. And,
yeah.
And it was interesting. I actually watched it with a friend, and her comment is, at first she really didn't like Anthony at all. She didn't like the character. But then she realized it was just the character. And not the actor itself. I mean, she really finally got to understand who he was by the end and really enjoyed the film. But at first, he was such a jerk, the way he was treating women, the way he was acting. She just didn't like him. But by the end, she really did.
Yeah, and by the time the end of the movie comes along, you can't help yourself. You like him. You just don't like what he's doing, you know?
Right.
So
and there were some really wonderful lines in there as well. So is there any other part of creative expression that you are interested in getting more involved in, or is film mainly your venue, the acting,
well,
film?
You know, it's interesting you should ask. We've actually, well, films are sort of the most immediate focus just because they seem to reach such an incredibly wide audience. Phyllis and I both started in the theater, and we've both been sort of tossing around ideas of doing some more plays, just because that's another wonderful way to reach people. But and also, you know, as we expand and get opportunities to do more things, I think that we're pretty much hoping to reach into as many sort of pockets of artistry as possible with, you know, the kind of work that we want to do, which is just really bringing that inclusive multicultural message around that we're all one, we're all together in this, and important to remember that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So are either one of you or both of you dabbling also in writing the screenplays, or are you just reading friends and other people's work and seeing if there's something out there already that you can take to the theater or to the film?
One of our, actually, we have a couple of projects on the burner right now that are cooking, and we're going to see which one gets ready first. But one of them is actually a script that Leah has written.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting because she won't tell you this, but she's actually written two other scripts, one feature and one short, with a writing partner. This is a few years ago, and she's very talented. She's gotten to the finalist at the Sundance screenwriting competition.
Excellent.
So,
congratulations.
We won't tell you she's a writer, but she
for the most part, you know, we both love the collaboration so much with other artists, and that's one of the great things that film is about. You know, it really is nothing if not a wonderful collaboration between so many talented people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, every now and again, you have a story inside you that's floating out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, art is really an expression of society. So, working together with other artists, it makes perfect sense. So, is there anything that you learned from your fellow actors within, or anybody, the crew even, any really powerful lessons that you learned while making this film that kind of surprised yourself or really just said, huh, well, I didn't realize about that?
I'll tell you that as an actor, something that surprised me the most walking out of the whole, you know, the experience isn't over, but once we finished shooting specifically, I remember really thinking to myself how little the actor has to do with the entire process, because it is so collaborative. And it's funny because certainly our society has such a fixation upon the actors and their work, when the reality is their work is upon, you know, sort of a stage that's built and designed and controlled.
It's like a whole mass of clay.
The temperature. Yeah, by others, and their collaboration is, without it, it's impossible to have the actors. So it was actually quite humbling for myself as an actor to realize that, because I feel like I've walked into many auditions since then and felt very relaxed about my audition, because I knew that there were so many other elements, and that, in fact, I was one of the final pieces that was put in to place. So that was something I learned unexpectedly.
That's very cool.
And I think I learned that, sort of actually along those same lines, I learned that in some ways the actor, like, I think the very best work is when an actor walks in open to the powerlessness of it, like, and recognizing that their input is to create and create and create, and that then the next step, you know, is the director to step in and start picking and choosing the pieces that they've created to fashion something new, larger than everyone, you know. And I think that, you know, that was kind of one of the things that was really fun about being a producer, that, you know, Phyllis and I've got to watch this project go from, like, its very, you know, beginning stages to, like, you know, now it's a big grown teenager that's getting ready to get out of the house, and it's been a really wonderful, exciting experience for us to watch it grow through all its stages and be part of those stages, from, like, the really, you know, beautiful, wonderful ones, like the day we found out we had the camera from Panavision, or, you know, the really difficult days where we were, like, you know, suffering because we had suddenly run out of film and didn't know what to do.
That is a panic moment when you run out of film, and you still have to watch your film. So, I mean, even then, you learned how to deal with pressure. And was it easier to be the actress, Leah, versus the producer, or did either one feel, you know, more pressure on you? The performance or the producing? Or were they pretty equal in the amount of energy you had to really put into them? Now, granted, I understand the producing definitely takes a lot longer because of the pre-production and after-production.
It's interesting. A good friend of mine recently said that, you know, between two things that someone does, and this is interesting because she's an actress, a wonderful actress, and she also teaches elementary school, and she was saying to me that someone had said to her, oh, well, you know, worst-case scenario, if the acting doesn't work out, you know, you've always got teaching. And she said she felt really sort of hurt by that because she thought to herself, you know, as much as she enjoyed teaching, acting was what kept her passionate about her life. And she said, you know, you really can tell if you ever need to ask yourself which you are between, like, as an individual, as an inside person, if you need to ask, like, when you ask yourself between two things, if you had to give up one, or if one did really, really well, would you be willing to give up the other? And so she's like, I mean, if I think about being a teacher versus being an actress, if acting went really, really well, I could totally give up teaching. However, teaching, if that went really, really well, I could not give up acting. And so when I think of that between producing and acting, I definitely know that I'm an actress more than a producer. I feel passion for that in a way that producing, the passion I feel for producing is that it facilitates my passion as an actor.
Right.
And so while I've gotten better at it over just out of practice, as a producer, it definitely has been most inspired by my true passion, which is as an actress.
I was going to just ask you if producing help you understand, you know, being an actress and vice versa, understanding what both roles really entail. Did it give you a better appreciation for filmmaking?
Wait, I'm not sure I understood the last question. Will you say it one more time? You broke up.
Sure. Basically, because you had your behind the scenes and in front of the camera, did you have a better appreciation of what it takes to make a film and appreciate being that actress with the passion because you were the producer as well?
Yeah, you know, and actually maybe Phyllis can help me too because we both had the experience. I it was definitely rewarding. I felt like I learned so much on either side of the camera.
I think it's interesting because as an actor, you're on set and you see the circus running around, and it's mysterious in some ways because you're the actor and you have your role to play. But then when you're producing, suddenly you're on the other end of it. But it's still in some ways a mysterious circus because each person really has their own strength to bring to the show, if you will. And so I think, you know, certainly for me, I can say that one has certainly informed the other. Producing has certainly informed acting, and acting certainly has informed my producing.
And I
can say, as did Leah, that, you know, I'm definitely more, I think I would say, an actor than a producer. I don't think I could give up acting in order to produce, or not for too long anyway. It's still sort of, you know, more is revealed to you but that's more like, that's like anything, the more you do it, the more it's revealed to you. It's still in many ways a mysterious circus because, you know, everyone's doing their own craft, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that really answers the question, but...
I think you have. I got a question. Have you ever had a role that revealed a part of you, expressed a part of you that you didn't realize existed?
Sure.
How did it feel?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I feel like I discover that every time I do a new role. Certainly roles, you know, appeal to a certain part or quality that you have inside of you. That's either why someone else sees you as that role or they see the opposite in you and that's why you're cast. It's not just someone giving you a role, it's you also owning it in some ways. But I think there's always that part of the actual character that's independent of the artist that becomes to life when the artist is in that character.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely.
So do you think it has helped you grow and understand yourself, or do you really try and separate yourself from the character? And be very detached, saying, I'm not sure what kind of actresses you are, if you're method actresses or what type you are, but do you try and stay detached from the character, or do you really kind of breathe as one with the character, or does it depend on the character itself?
You know, I think definitely for me it just boils down to that sometimes it depends on what the character needs. Sometimes I find my way to a character through an exterior element, like the way that the hair is for the character. I just start seeing the hair, and I start playing with my hair and doing what I see for the character, and then I find
her
my way
shoes,
to the character. That was how she walks, her clothes, things like that. And then other times it can be through more sort of internal processes, like music, you know, knowing the music that the person loves to listen to or the era that she grew up in, and the music from that era, and letting that put you in a place where you begin to feel some of the things, you know, as you sort of fantasize about who she is, you begin to find those things, you know, from your collective memory or all of our collective memory. And of course, you feed your collective memory by research, you know, you can research in so many different ways, you know, I mean, just online alone, but also reading books and watching documentaries and things like that. So actually, it kind of depends. I think method acting is one of many very effective tools, depending on what you need to do for the character, what you need to find her within you.
So, this is a question for both of you. When you get a role, I mean, how much research and how much development for a character, like for you, Leo, for Catherine, how much time did you take to really develop her, or did she just kind of unfold as the filming went on?
No, we definitely did a lot of, well, it was a mixture. For the most part, I did a lot of work beforehand, and I had the added benefit of, as I was, you know, developing the script, I got to be part of sort of from the rewriting process, and I got to, you know, essentially put the words in my mouth, in my own character's mouth that I felt her saying. And so that was helpful. And usually, in some ways, kind of a cheat, because usually actors don't get that much time with the script beforehand. But, yeah, for Catherine, it was definitely through the music that she, you know, grew up listening to, the Valley Girl music from the 80s in California that was so popular. I got a whole bunch of those CDs and literally was listening to them for months beforehand. And the hair was a really big way in. I don't have dreadlocks, but I had always been curious about them. And so getting to wear dreadlocks for 2 months, you know, that was a great way into Catherine as well. And then on set, I was really lucky because Phyllis, you know, not only is she an amazing actress, but she's also an amazing acting coach. And so it was like having another pair of eyes on my work. Both Anthony and I both benefited from having her, you know, work with Jen. Jen was wonderful about letting her, you know, work with us on set to sort of further rehearse scenes. You know, either Jen would rehearse us and then Phyllis would step in and do sort of final tweaks, or Phyllis would rehearse us and then Jen would step in and do the tweaks. And it was really a really, really wonderful way for, you know, me to continue to develop the role even on set, which, you know, is what every actor wants to keep doing. So primarily the most the largest part of the work happened before we started shooting, but it continued on set.
Yeah.
So Phyllis, did you feel like you were a part of the process of developing Catherine then?
Well, you know, I think part of, Lee and I both have a similar method in that, like, a lot of preparation beforehand, and then you kind of throw it all away, and then the character does in some ways sort of unfold initial rehearsals, and then certainly as those red scenes become three-dimensionally created and acted. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I did feel in some ways like I got to craft a little bit of Catherine's emotional life through the scenes, because it's one thing to say it and read it, and it's another thing to have all of the elements like a scene partner and the actual home that she lives in and, you know, her things around her and her territory defined in three dimensions. So I did feel like I got to shape a little bit of her emotional arc in the film. And but the majority of it really is the actor. It's really the actor and doing the work beforehand and then throwing it all away and coming in ready to play.
Yeah.
So was there any competition, Phyllis, for you to play Catherine, or did you just see that part as Leah's and that's...
No, in this case, we knew beforehand that Leah was going to play Catherine, and it would have been sort of weird, since we're twins and sort of looked enough alike, it would have been weird to have, you know, someone who's, you know, to have Catherine have a sister that has nothing to do with the storyline, and it would have just been a derailment of the storyline and probably a waste of film. because it would have ended up on the cutting room floor. So no, there wasn't any competition as far as that went.
Well, it definitely is a wonderful film. I highly recommend, and I hope you get the distributors. From me doing my poetry, I know it can be tough to get a distributor for a small filmmaking. Is it difficult for you to get the person to pay attention and get your film out there through the distributors?
It's been a little bit difficult. We've definitely gotten some interest for DVD, but because the film has played so well in these film festivals in front of audiences, definitely a part of us is hoping that we can get someone interested in a theatrical release on board. And part of what's holding us back is not that the film isn't good, but because we don't really have stars in our film, it makes it more difficult to get media attention. And so we're kind of hoping to find an executive producer, maybe someone with a name or something, a celebrity name that can help bring attention to the film. So if anyone knows anyone.
Well, if anybody's listening and they have connections and want to help this film, I'm sure both ladies would like to hear from you. Why don't you guys give your website one more time?
Yeah, you can reach us, watch a trailer. There's an online press kit for the film, and you can also email Phyllis and I through the website at turnsoul.com, and that's www.TurnSoul.com. TurnSoul.com.
And how did you get that name? Is it just because you guys are twins and you decided to do this? Is this both Phyllis? Is this yours and Leah's company then?
Yes, it's our film company. And it's a name that we came about that we really liked and fit.
Yes, it's a great, and I love the mark. It's a great
Thank you so much.
It's a really beautiful mark logo for you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So it is coming up to the top of the hour. I do want to thank Phyllis and Leah of I'm Through with White Girls, a wonderful film that I'm sure many people will be seeing in their local theaters soon. I wish you all the best for this.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Keep in touch. I think you both are just... You guys are going somewhere. I have no doubts whatsoever. We're going to be seeing your name and getting a lot more awards for both of your work. So I thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me and being on air tonight.
Great.
Fantastic. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Again, I do want to mention that they do have a trailer on their website, which is www.twinsoul.com. It's also available on abstractillusion.net. And also, if you go to bbsradio.com and go to the page for Abstract Illusion Radio, we have a link also there for you to get more information. Also on abstractillusionnet.net, we do have archives of other shows, past shows, and we will be having this show on there as well.
Great, Jen. And, you know, the film also will be screening in Los Angeles at the end of the month at the American Black Film Festival.
That's excellent. Right. Are you guys having also, are you having a screening at the Chicago?
We will be screening, there are three screenings at the Chicago International Film Festival.
If you're out in that area, I really strongly urge you to go see it. It really is in L.A. or in Chicago. And I'm sure you guys will be getting even more around the country with this film.
Great.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Thanks so much, Jen.
You're very, very welcome. You guys,
right.
Take care.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. Next week, I will be talking to the celebrity astrologer psychic Terry Nizon. She will be taking calls, and she also will be talking about the continuing shifting of the energies that's going on to get us all in a better place. I'm Jennifer Hellman. I want to thank you for listening, and as we say on this program, with each air, we hope you gain new insights and new inspirations. Until next week, I wish you a wonderful week and many blessings. Thank you again for listening. Good night.